We help people who are blind or low vision have a more enjoyable experience of broadcast sport. But audio is the specialized audio aspect of Action Audio is a part of it. It's not everything. It just doesn't have to be specialized audio. It just feels like a really good lever for us to provide more information to people who are blind or low vision to help them make their own agency.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. We're continuing our theme of focusing on sports tech startups catering to people who are differently abled and how sports tech can help bring sports to differently abled people, whether they want to participate in athletes as athletes or as fans. They want to consume the sports that they love. And there are so many interesting tools that they can use to do that. In fact, one of the companies, the company that I have on today, was one of the inspirations for this podcast, for this series, actually, I should say. When we were doing our research, well, a while back, we came across a few companies and we were like, actually, we could make this a theme. There are enough really good tech companies addressing this. And one such is a company called Action Audio. They make live sports broadcasts accessible to people with either blindness or low vision. And I've got on the show today, Tim Devine, co-founder of Action Audio. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
Glad to have you. All right, Tim, before I get into what Action Audio actually does, I want to understand more about you as a person. We want to know about what brought you on this journey to set up this company. So I'd love to hear about your own background and leading up to setting up Action Audio.
Sure. My background is lots of things, really, and I think that's kind of why Action Audio exists today. I studied music and sound design and composition. I studied media art at an art school in Austria. I love sport. I'm interested in the intersection of art, science, and humanity or society. And so there's lots of curiosity, I suppose, that drives me. And so I'm constantly kind of exploring different ways of connecting different things. And I think Action Audio is a confluence of two specific technologies to create a new experience or service for people.
The way you describe yourself on your LinkedIn profile, which I had a brief look at, is you're a director of innovation, you're a techno-ecologist and an artist. I'm curious about the last two words, the techno-ecologist and the artist. Where does that come from? Or how do you express those parts of your personality?
Yeah, so a techno-ecologist is effectively someone who understands the broad spectrum of technologies and how they interrelate. It's an ecosystem or ecology, and they, as I said, that's kind of why Action Audio exists. And artists, so I think play is a big part of our service, like the sense of play, the recognition of the importance of play in participation and sense of belonging and fandom and all of those things. And so I think art is art thinking and the approach to art is always, I think, is undervalued and it's becoming more valued. I think I think people might get more out of doing a master's in art than business, than an MBA. So, you know, I think the sense of play and how we use technologies and understand it and experiment with it is probably more valuable to people moving forward. So I would identify as an artist and a techno-ecologist as a result.
I would agree with that, actually. I think art or design or whatever you want to call it, your interpretation of reality in a slightly different way is getting more credit than just let's say more traditional functions. How you connect with the world and understanding different mediums is important. And why I like that background, and you have a varied background, including, as you said, a bit of Austria and German language skills and such. is that all of that, that diversity in your own background is what leads you to create an interesting company like this. So Action Audio, for anybody who's listening, is action-audio.com. This is a company funded in partnership with the Tennis Australia. So you've already had a couple of, let's say, pilots, or I don't know if that's the right word, but partnerships with the Australian Open as well. And that's how we came across you guys. So explain to somebody who doesn't know it at all, what exactly does Action Audio do?
Yeah, so we help people who are blind or low vision have a more enjoyable experience of broadcast sport. And we do that using a confluence of emerging technologies, I suppose, which are the quantification of sport and how all sports are kind of becoming more quantified, more automated in their decisioning, I suppose. That's, you know, so what are the review systems and things like that. And spatialized audio, which is being driven through immersive tech like metaverse-like experiences, so AR, VR, mixed reality, XR, whatever, are. But audio is the spatialized audio aspect of Action Audio is a part of it. It's not everything. It just doesn't have to be spatialized audio. It just feels like a really good lever for us to provide more information to people who are blind or low vision to help them make their own agency, make their own assumptions or appraisal of what's happening in games and give them more agency. So, yeah, that's probably the short of it.
It's like spatial computing. It's immersing you into this 3D rich sound environment where you get a sense of where the ball, for example, in tennis, is coming from, where the players are. It situates you in a space just through sound, which I thought was incredibly, incredibly cool. Why this issue? Why blindness or low vision? Was that an application that you found after you introduced or you stumbled upon the tech or you discovered or you started playing around with the tech? Or did it go the other way that you wanted to address the problem for people with blindness and say, this is a way to do it?
We had a hunch that it might be meaningful to people who are blind or had low vision. And so we went out and we worked with them to define it. So it's a big part of Action Audio is to make sure that we're co-designing and we're working with people who are blind or low vision to define the experience, to find out what's meaningful for them, what's missing in the experience. And that's been the feedback that we've had has been profound. And so it started there, but I think we would see ourselves as an augmented audio company because there's a lot of opportunities, you know, in the peripheral. If we're taking the data and we've got, you know, we've kind of got these two components working really well, which is sort of immersive audio and, you know, synchronized kind of very, very rich audio that's synchronized with data, then we start to think about how we can create more immersive experiences for fully sighted people and more immersive or more richer replays and richer media, richer content and things like that. So, you know, that's a really nice space to be. I think it sort of comes under the term of universal design in the idea that, you know, it works for everyone and then it's better.
So then that leads me naturally to my next question, which is what you just spoke about, universal design. So is there a next level application of this immersive audio experience, which is for able people, for normally abled people as well? Is that a next iteration of the product? Is that a separate product?
No, it's not. I wouldn't say it's separate products. It's just like it's definitely something that we're working on and have been working on for a while. I think that we've had sports broadcasts that have been the same for a long time. I mean, they've evolved. We've done lots of work in sport, in different projects actually, for different companies, but it's evolved more than you realize. We did a project outside of Action Audio for Nike and Serena Williams last year where we trained an AI on Serena Williams in 99 to get her to play Serena Williams in 2016, so when she won her first and last Grand Slams. And the reason I bring that up is because it was really interesting to go back to the footage that we had back in 1999, and it's VHS. It's such bad quality, and so you kind of my memory of watching sport when I was younger was nowhere near that. And so what we have now is these super high frame rate, super crisp, 8K, 4K, whatever, many camera experiences, and then, you know, crazy microphones that are picking up crazy details and things like that. So I think it's evolved in like the really obvious ways, in that it's sort of become higher definition sonically and visually. But I think that it goes back to that idea around play and the interest around play. And I really think that the work that we've been doing around taking the data and sonifying it is going to be a new experience and a new thing that sort of, you know, is an alternative to just having someone, you know, explain what they think is happening in the game, as opposed to maybe something that is really reactive and kind of sonically interesting, and allows you to kind of, yeah, be there in a way that you might not have been or felt, be more immersed in a broadcast than you may have not in the past.
Just on that Serena Williams one, is this something that you've released? So it was Serena Williams present day playing herself in a video compilation or as an avatar? How did that work exactly?
Yeah. So I worked for AKQA as well, and we worked with Nike last year on a project that was about sort of celebrating her career, you know, and the length and consistency of her career. And so we effectively built a model of 1999 Serena using video content, and then built a model of 2016 Serena when she won her last Grand Slam. And so 99, she won her first Grand Slam at the Australian Open. And I'm not sure which one it was actually, but and then we built those models and we got them to play off each other so we could get some insights. And that sort of aligns to some of the stuff we're exploring with Action Audio, which is around insight generation and surfacing of information that you might not think about. It was such an interesting process to go through how we actually manifested Action Audio, but yeah, that's what we did for Serena and Nike last year.
Interesting. You might have come across, I guess, during that process, the McEnroe versus McEnroe documentary, which is a real life version. They actually had Jimmy on court and had robots on the other side and had holograms. I came across that. I was like, this is a bit nuts. But it also, again, that's the coolest tech is usually a bit nuts when you first think about it.
Yeah, I know the McEnroe piece. Yeah, I think it's all about, you know, all this data is enabling us to create experiences that are helping everyday viewers kind of, or people who helping, like, I guess, commentators and fans become data scientists in ways. Like we're kind of taking this really intense, rich data and putting it in a way, presenting it in a way that is a game, and that is super familiar.
Easy to understand, yeah.
Yeah.
All those things. Yeah, and giving and elevating the data in so many ways. All right, I think we've set the context around what Action Audio is. I'm sure there's a clip that's played already for the listeners and the viewers. All right, so we've done that context. Now let's talk about the business of it, if on that side of how we actually interact with sports. So you've done a project with the Australian Open. How do you, is it purely a B2B play? You go to the tournament organizer or the sporting, the rights holder, and you say, hey, this is something that you can add on to make your product, to make your event or your tournament or your game more accessible? Is it as simple as that? Or do you work with, I don't know, corporates or sponsors or partners? Like, how do you take the product out to the masses?
Good question. So there are lots of ways in for us, and where we've got lots of things that we're working on. And, you know, it's not the experience of an event is, or yeah, of a sport, maybe even just to broaden it out a little bit more, goes beyond the broadcast. Obviously people are there in person and watching it at an arena or a stadium. And so the in-person experience is something that we're exploring. So that would happen on device, or either that's kind of how it works. But also the way that we do it at the moment is working, we receive a data feed from the rights holder. So that can be the tournament, that can be, a broadcaster. And we take that time-coded data and we synchronize it, generate action audio, send it back out with time code, and it gets synchronized with the video and then comes into the broadcast experience. But it could also happen, we're also looking at how ways we're working with an interesting partner about sort of, you know, our whole ambition is about accessibility, right? So we want it to be as accessible and as scalable as possible. So, you know, getting into the weeds, there's, you know, quantifying that data is, you know, there are some really great partners out there that do that, and there's that, but some of them require quite a lot of cameras or sensors in balls and things like that when it comes to soccer or football. And we think that we don't need super high resolution data that's, you know, ultra high frame rates, ultra precise 3D data. We need good enough, you know, it just needs to be good enough. So we're working with a partner on bringing that to devices like televisions, that so when you're watching something on television, that becomes, you can kind of get that action audio experience on the television. And so we kind of bypass the broadcast. So you can watch it at any time that you want to watch it. And it's using computer vision. And, you know, it's just such AI and machine learning and effectively computer vision, or however you want to term it. It's just is we are on the coattails of that. And that's why I think action audio is a great proposition, because we don't have to do the spatialized audio aspect of it. And we don't want to do that. We can lean on Dolby Atmos and all the other, you know, people working on those technologies. And we don't have to do the quantification of it. We can ride the coattails of that. And that's, you know, we do some of that development, but it's pretty, you know, we're not doing the nuts and bolts of it. We're able to kind of use that, access that. And if we're doing that on device, or we're doing it on a phone or on television, doesn't really matter to us. We don't really feel like we need to do those kind of very heavy lifting things. Like spatialized audio is challenging. It's hard technology. It's still not cracked. It's a lot of work to do in it. But as far as the business opportunity goes for action audio, we're focused on experience. So we just want to work with people who are blind or low vision to just build out the right experience, and then where it lives and how it gets there and who's funding it is kind of still yet to land. We're all about scale and experience, like getting it as many places as possible, and making sure that that experience is meaningful to people who are fans of the sport that we've created it for.
And what you touched on there in the middle of that answer was actually, I found fascinating. So what you're saying is you could essentially make this a consumer device or accessible to the end consumer by bypassing the broadcaster feed. I, using my mobile phone or something, could basically, I guess, point it at the television, and I could get through my earphones or whatever, that immersive experience effectively, like, in, or maybe that's like the end goal that you want to achieve, but that is something that you see as possible.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It's not, you know, our phones have, absurd capability these days. So we don't see that being something that won't be possible within the next year, 18 months.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
But right now, you're still having to rely on the primary broadcaster, or, as you said, whoever's sending you the data, whether it's the right sort of the tournament organizer or the broadcaster, whoever's giving you the data from the feed about whatever data you require, the positioning of the ball, the positioning of the players, the sound cue, like all of that stuff, which you then convert into this immersive experience. So you still rely on them. The reason I bring that up is, I think we had, is it last episode or a couple of episodes ago, we had Elodie Draperi from GiveVision. I don't know if you're familiar with them. So they also address sports with people with blindness or low vision, but they do it through a headset. So they're not doing using it sound; they're using sight. But essentially, it's a headset that has a magnification. So you can, so if you're in the venue, you can adjust the view of the live game to your personal requirement. But also, it has a screen inside where the broadcast is sending in a feed. So I can switch between watching it live through some sort of special magnification or whatever, and also go to the broadcaster feed. So they will always rely on the broadcaster to some extent to make sure that headset, it's like a VR headset, basically. And they rely on the broadcaster. But you can take it one step further and completely make it, hey, everybody's phone is capable of giving you or delivering this technology.
Yeah, and it's going to work in, like, I don't think we'll ever not work with a broadcaster, because, you know, or a sporting code, because they have their own channels and, you know.
They give you a lot of distribution, sure.
Yeah. And as I said, it's all about scale, reach, really. It's all about reach, and which is effect and accessibility. So we don't see any reason why Action Audio runs in the cloud, no matter what, or on device, right? This can run, it runs what it is. The product itself is agile in that sense. I call it malleable. It's sort of, it can fit in different contexts, but so that's been our focus. We thought about hardware, like vibration sensors and things like that, because we're, you know, phones could do that sort of stuff, but it's just complicated. And we just think we can scale. If we use sound, and sound is we use abstract sound. So we haven't talked about how Action Audio, like, you probably play the sample, shows that it's not voice. So we're not using people. We're not synthesizing a voice to say, you know, forehand, backhand, or 3-point, 2-point shot, whatever it might be. We're using abstract sound so that it can complement what's existing, right? Like, if we think about what's already existing in a sports broadcast, we've got, you know, vision, you know, full vision, which has a whole lot of information. We've got commentary, which is another set of information. And then we've got ambient, crowd, and the sport itself's sounds, and those three kind of things, we have to acknowledge when we're creating the experience. So we need to make sure that it works with that. It's in concert with that experience, existing experience, and so we don't use words. So we don't synthesize words. We use abstract sound.
Got it. Fair enough. Okay. So let's talk about some of the projects that you have worked on. We touched on the Australian Open, which is, I guess, where you started from. Have you since worked with any other sports leagues or teams or events?
Yeah, so we've done three Australian Opens. We've done the US Open and the Queen's Club Championships in the UK a couple of times. So we've kind of done a good amount of tennis, you know, multiple major tennis tournaments, and the feedback continues to be really good. And so I feel like we've progressed really well for tennis. We still have, you know, the French and Wimbledon as our targets. This year we were accepted into the NBA's Launchpad program, which was really exciting to go from tennis, which is super sympathetic to action audio in lots of ways. Tennis's structure is sort of, you know, quiet and, you know, really ripe for adding extra sounds. And it's simple. It's two players. There's a real cadence between. There's a real structure between it. So there's where you're either attacking and the other person's defending, or you're defending and the other person's attacking. And that's always switching back and forth. So the structure of it is really clear. So when we go to team sports, that's completely different. It's kind of chaos. Or as we imagined it was chaos, and we were really curious to see, A, working with people who are blind or low vision, does action audio, what we could create together, would it be meaningful to them, and or would it just be chaos? And the great news is that through the Launchpad program, working with the NBA, we were able to work with people who are blind, low vision to create an experience that works for team sports, and we're confident that it will work across all team sports. And probably the only experience that we haven't really mapped out now is more expressive sports like taekwondo or surfing, or, you know, maybe some Olympic sports like figure skating or something like that. But we think we can get there, like we've got there with team sports. And, so the NBA stuff is really exciting. That we just presented in Vegas to a bunch of other investors and sporting leagues at the NBA's demo day, and super well received. We're basically on a ramp at the moment, so it's feeling good. We're really excited to have cracked it for team sports and learnt a lot about how we can do it, how we can just, you know, on a baseline, adding more information, making it more accessible, more meaningful to people, so they can make their own appraisal about what's going on.
Tim, I'll ask you if you have an audio sample that you would be willing to share. Maybe this is the spot to insert what an NBA game might sound like. Let's see if Tim will feel generous. So first of all, congratulations on the NBA Launchpad. I remember seeing that as well. And it's great that I can't even imagine. Like with tennis, you can totally see the use case. With the NBA or with football, you can kind of see the use cases. With taekwondo or surfing, it's not really an audio spectacle. I don't even know what you would do, but it's great to hear that you're confident that you could do something. So while you're riding that wave, pun intended, of like finding a lot of ways to enter new sports, I'm sure at the same time you're facing like some of these, especially when I've been talking to other people, other founders, it's like this is a no-brainer. Surely every time you go to any tournament or any league, they're like, yeah, let's just go and try something, especially because this enhances accessibility. But as you've already said, you've done three Australian Opens, you've done a US Open, but maybe Wimbledon and French, for whatever reason, haven't converted yet. What are the reasons that you tend to get pushback, or what are the challenges that you've faced in rolling out a product like this?
Yeah, I think the challenges are focus. I suppose that's the way it is for any, I'm sure that is the way it is for any startup, is that you have to focus, right? And we've got to build a product which is effectively an engine that can generate action audio based on the media stream that we can receive with the data and then send it back. And some broadcasters and some tournaments are pretty antiquated. Like some of them aren't quite able to scale easily. Whereas
Right.
The NBA is amazing. Like the product that we've created that runs in the cloud, we receive the time code, we generate action audio with that time code, send it out, and they synchronize it on their end. And like that's super easy, right? So it's taking that example back to other broadcasters or tournaments and saying, this is how easy it can be. You use the same, you know, you've got all these systems. Maybe there's a way that we can make it easier for them to roll it out. I think there's been a couple of challenges like that, but it's about finding the right partner to show that there's a path to doing it, which is really, really simple. Our focus has been this year has been less on product and more on experience, and more on like how do we make this experience for team sports, because it's really important. We don't want to make any assumptions in our business that it is going to be meaningful for team sports. We didn't want to make any assumptions. So it's really important that when we're creating things with people who are blind or low vision, they're meaningful. And so we were open to it not working for basketball, to be completely honest with you, and team sports. But we found a way to do it. We feel really confident with it. And the team that, or the group that we worked with to define that, were awesome. And yeah, it's really exciting to be where we are.
I guess it makes sense. You need to build your, let's say, repository of case studies that you can present to different types of rights holders and say, hey, we can do it in this way or that way. But the first requirement is that they have to be open to it, and also not just open to it ideologically or with sentimentally, it's open to it from a technology perspective as well, like what they can handle, what capacity that they have, the resources that they can dedicate to something like this. That's an often a common feedback that we get from startups. All right, I mean, so you entered one sport, you're fairly entrenched in, which is tennis. You've entered another sport with the NBA. What's next for Action Audio? What does the next 12, 18 months look like? Is it more sports? Is it moving to access for the other able people, not just the people with the low vision? What is the roadmap for the product going forward?
Yeah, focus is to get it into the NBA's broadcast. Regularly, so whether that's every game or special games, but that's the focus, and we're working with the NBA on that. So we're exploring ways that we will do that. So that's the number one thing that we're looking at. And you know, then there are these other opportunities which I mentioned earlier, where what if we could just do it on a telly, on a television, or a phone, and so working with other partners like that. But all of this is about Series A. So we're really looking for Series A funding so that we can then, because that's speed for us. So we've proved the product. We've proved it in team. We've proved it in tennis. We're sure we can do it for more expressive sports. Now we're Series A, probably that's the focus, right? Like Series A will allow us to go to scale it to all sports really quickly, where the demand is. That's what we've got. We're just going to Vegas for the NBA demo day. We met a lot of interested sporting organizations, and it just felt like the way to do this is to get some funding and so do it at pace, get it out there.
That's an excellent call to action. So because we do have investors listening, for anybody who wants to know more about the round that Tim has basically just announced is open, I guess you can get in touch maybe on LinkedIn or on email. We'll share your contact details in the show notes. Tim, email or LinkedIn, any preferred point of contacting you?
Yeah, email's fine. Email or LinkedIn's fine.
Yeah, perfect. But yeah, I that makes sense to me as well. I think if you found a strong, well, on one side, you've got to push up the ready-ish version of the product, let's say for tennis and basketball, and get that reach. And at the other side, you're constantly developing the product further, whether it's for new sports or new formats. So yeah, for both those, I would imagine you need some capital. Tim, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time. Before I let you go, I have one last question, which is usually my favorite question to ask. I'd like to believe that we're all sports fans first, which is why we choose to work in this industry. So I'd like to know your favorite sporting moment, either one as you consumed as a fan or maybe even as an athlete that you've participated in.
I would say my favorite sporting moment, watching, I like cricket. I love the Ashes. Mm-hmm. That's just gone on. And I think that Test match cricket is a really special thing. I really like it. And I think that the latest Ashes series was amazing. There's always something. And I think it's good being an Australian and, you know, having a thing about British, the colonizers is like, you know, super interesting. So yeah, any Ashes series is probably my favorite sporting moment.
Fair enough. And there have been plenty of magical Ashes. But yeah, it was a nice way for Stuart Broad as well to round off an amazing career. Yeah, and a good way to round off this episode. Tim, thanks once again for taking the time. Appreciate you being on here. Anybody who wants to reach out to Tim, feel free to get in touch. We'll drop his contact details on the show notes.
Thanks, Rohan. It's been great.
All right, that is another episode done. And there has been so much cool tech that we've talked about or discovered over the course of this month. I've certainly enjoyed speaking to the founders who come with a different perspective, not just trying to build, lots of come from the sport industry and trying to build big businesses, but actually focusing on some really cool tech and really innovative solutions that have different applications. That's been fun. So that brings an end to our series for Sports Tech for the Differently Abled. Our next month, we'll be focused on stadium tech and innovation in, lots of cool stuff that happens for stadiums. This is in partnership with the DFL, with Bundesliga, and their upcoming event, the Sports Innovation Day in April 2024, I believe. We'll give you more details. So stay tuned for that lineup. See you guys then.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.